So good morning and good afternoon, guys. Welcome to your masterclass for the next 4 weeks, where we're going to be talking about discipline. Now, this masterclass is going to help you in every area of your life, from being a partner to being a parent to finding love, keeping love, to losing weight, and even building your business. In fact, it's going to affect everything you want to do in your life. Being disciplined is going to help because discipline sets you free. And in this masterclass, you're going to get all the tools that you need to become the most disciplined version of yourself. You see, discipline allows you to get more out of life by allowing you to be super productive, super focused, and then to bring this focus into the now so that you can be more present at work and get more done. And you can also be more present at home in order to make more memories. So really, this can be a complete game changer for you. So let's get started. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be covering five main areas, starting off with clarity today, where we are going to get really clear on what discipline means for us and how we can begin to build more of it. Then, in the following weeks, we're going to cover creating discipline through subtraction and then simplicity. And then we're going to wrap it up by talking about algorithms, which is one of the most powerful concepts I've recently learned to know that, well, to know. And then we're going to tie a bow on all of this, talking about accountability, which we're all familiar with, but which I'm going to give a new twist to. So that's what we're going to cover over the next 4 weeks. Although I do retain the right to poetic license and to modify anything at any given time in order to provide more value to you guys if I see I'd like to add something else. Now, one of my favorite sayings is that clarity is power, and we have to know what our target is before we can hit it. And so if we think in the context of archery, we don't just shoot an arrow and hope it hits something. We aim at the middle of the target. We work on hitting that specific area. This is our aim, this is our goal. And so too with discipline. Each of us is going to have a slightly different idea on what discipline means. And so we have to take that into account because what you consider discipline may not be what somebody else considers discipline. So let's discuss firstly what discipline isn't. So discipline is not about being hardcore, like say a Navy SEAL or even having daily ice baths or even running a marathon in a desert. It's also not about adding more stuff or more hardships to our life. Of course, doing any of these things like the Navy SEALs or in the desert or whatever, that all requires discipline. It does require courage, persistence, even determination. And yet this does not necessarily define discipline for us. Discipline is not about saying no to everything either. It's about taking the right actions at the right time for your right life. And so the perspective that I would like to offer is that discipline is about having systems, it is about attaining discipline through subtraction, and it's also about implementing systems to bring us automatic success to all areas of our life. The thing is, though, most people don't know what their right life is. So they bounce around from thing to thing, saying yes to things that you say no to, and no to things that they should really be saying yes to. So having discipline begins with us having clarity about what we really want. Because when we know what we want, we can just about do anything to achieve it. In Viktor Frankl's book of Man's Search for Meaning, he has a fantastic quote that says, People can endure any hell if they have a strong enough why. So if you have a big burning desire, a vision, you've got the clarity, you can muster up tons of discipline to do the right things. So we're going to tap into this. We're going to tap into this why and get rid of toxic temptations. And we're going to achieve discipline through subtraction. But first, it begins with clarity and it begins with knowing what we want. When we know what we really want, we can start acting in accordance with our authentic goals, and then we will find the strength to get through almost anything. So it's not going to be about relying on willpower when that piece of chocolate cake arrives at 7 p.m. in the evening. You're going to get to have systems in place to ensure your discipline and your correct actions are automatic and effortless. So in this masterclass, we are going to do that work so that discipline becomes effortless in the long run. A little bit of effort up front, but down the road, effortless. So, right off the bat, I want you guys to begin thinking about simple disciplines that you could or would like to build in your life that is going to make achieving your goals a whole lot easier. And you've probably got a good idea of what these could be already. It could be going to bed and waking up at the same time each day. It could have something to do with limiting your drinking or your smoking. Maybe it's even something to do with how consistent you lead your day, yeah, or organize your time. Maybe it's something to do about eliminating distractions and time-wasting activities. So go ahead and pause the training now and write down 5-10 things as your answers to this question, and we'll come back to that later in this masterclass. All right, so we're back. And now we are going to be talking about the philosophy of discipline. One of the critical parts of being disciplined is knowing yourself. When you know yourself and you know what truly matters to you, every decision becomes so much easier. When we are not clear, though, on our values and our vision, we get ourselves in trouble and make silly mistakes based on emotions rather than our vision and clarity for our lives. So knowing yourself is vital, and this is one of the most important things that you can do for your future. I mean, if we look at the old philosophers, this is the one message that keeps coming through: know thyself. And now, if all of these greats all agree on this one thing, then it behooves us to really work on getting really clear on the important and on what is important, and move on creating a vision that is right for you. Because one person's vision is not going to be—it's going to be very different to another person's vision. My vision and your vision are going to be different, and so the discipline required is not going to be the same either. We don't necessarily want or need to have the discipline of the Navy SEALs doing the superhuman feats that they do, or even say Michael Phelps and be swimming 7 days a week. When we know what success is for us, and when you know what you want for your family to look like, what good health looks like for you, how much money you want in the bank, you get to set your own discipline levels. Okay? So we don't want to do is blindly assume or follow what others are doing is right for us. Okay, because it may not be. The right thing for them may well be the wrong thing for us. We got to find out what is the right thing for us to be doing. Let me give you an example. You know, what time you get up in the morning doesn't necessarily dictate your success. Because there are plenty of successful people that wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning, but there are also successful people that wake up at 9 or 10. So this is not necessarily the criteria that we get to measure ourselves by. Just because you're in the 5 a.m. club doesn't mean automatically you're also in the 5 million Net Worth Club. So the point here is, don't put your identity on what time you get up. Don't put your identity on how fast you can run or what your body fat percentage is. Most of the stuff doesn't really matter. So that's why it's so important to know thyself, and self-reflection is going to help you figure that out. What matters and what doesn't. For example, to get 10% body fat, the extremes that you're going to have to go to are going to be quite severe. You are going to require so much energy and time, and it simply might not be worth it when you consider the sacrifice, say, to your business or to your relationship. It just isn't worth it. And so if we can let go, that go, all right, and be happy, say, at 12 to 15% body fat, now we can take all that discipline, that energy, that time, and put it into something that really matters. Now, if you really want that 10%, then that is okay. You know, if you want the 10% body fat, then that's fine. However, it does mean that you may well have to give up certain other things that take us away from this goal. So it's about getting clear about what is important to you, so you know what you can say no to, right? Because everything else that isn't important automatically becomes a no. And at the end of the day, because of this, discipline is going to look entirely different for everyone, and that's completely fine. You want to give yourself permission to have it that way. And when you do, it's going to free you up, because discipline and willpower are depletable resources. You've all probably heard about how marathon runners hit the wall at mile 18. And what we do with our discipline and willpower matters as we go through the day, because we deplete it. And so we all know how we can start off discipline at the beginning of the day, and then by 4 or 5 p.m. in the afternoon, we get all snappy, especially if we poured all our energy into something else. So that's one of the reasons we have our decompression routine, so that we can make the transition more manageable. And yet, our willpower is a depletable resource. And so by running, and so by the end of the day, we could be running on fumes, which is why it's so easy to screw up late in the day. So what's a big lesson here is, don't waste your energy on things that don't matter. And by knowing yourself, you get to focus on the right things and thereby improve the right areas of your life. So then you can make success more automatic. So what I'd like for you to do is spend 10, 15 minutes getting clear on your definition of discipline. What are the things that matter most to you, and that you're going to invest the best of your time, of your energy, and of your willpower into? What are those things that might matter to other people and so-called experts that you don't care about or don't want to prioritize as much? Go ahead, pause the training now and answer those questions for you. All right, so now let's move on to talk about creating our own rules for automatic discipline. You see, when you have rules for your life, it creates a structure for your life that keeps you within these boundaries of the right actions. And then the right actions become automatic and lead to your right life. So we are going to be writing our own rules. And it might surprise you how easy this can be. Let me give you an example about rules in play. So imagine two people go to a birthday party. We've got Bob and John, right? And Bob has a rule that he doesn't eat meat. John, on the other hand, has got no rules other than he's trying to eat clean. So Bob and John are sitting there at the party. They're having a chat. And next minute, a waiter walks past with a tray of cheeseburgers and offers them to the guys. Bob has a rule: I don't eat meat. So he looks at cheeseburgers, they've got meat, he doesn't eat meat. Thank you very much, no thanks. Easy. John, on the other hand, right, is trying to eat clean, but he's also quite peckish now. It's 7 p.m., he hasn't had much to eat that day, he's looking at the cheeseburger, they're looking quite yummy, And he thinks, okay, well, I'm just going to have one. So he has a cheeseburger. He eats a cheeseburger, and then he's kind of feeling a little bit guilty because, well, you know, it wasn't as clean as he wanted to be, but, you know, it was food. So on the one hand, you've got a pretty easy decision. On the other hand, you've got this mental anguish, should I, shouldn't I? Okay, I will. Fast forward 20 minutes, 30 minutes, here comes the cheeseburgers again. For Bob, it's an easy decision. I don't eat meat. No, thank you. For John, well, that cheeseburger was pretty good. I think I'll just have one more and that'll be okay. Or he's fighting himself not to have that other one. Either way, there's this battle going on within John's mind. So having rules can actually be very liberating. And although no one really likes having rules placed on them by others, when we put the rules on ourselves, it allows us to be free and helps us stay on track for our own goals. Think of your computer and your phone. They are all running on rules, and both are super powerful. And it's all possible because of their powerful operating system. The operating system for computers is based on rules. If this, then that. If that button is pressed, then this happens. If this, then that. All right. So when we're creating our rules for life, we can build our own powerful operating system. And this powerful operating system makes discipline effortless. Here's the thing though. We are all running various rules already. We just haven't written them down. For example, take my mom. Every Sunday, she's going to wake up, she'll water her plants, she'll make my dad coffee, and then she'll go off to the church. This is her Sunday operating system. Every Sunday, that's her exact routine, and she never deviates. And so this is where we start. You get to write down your existing rules that you're currently operating by, and then you add to these things what you want to change and improve. When it comes to things you want to change, it helps to think of the identity of a person already doing what you want. And then you can lean into that identity and make it your own. For example, one story I heard, there was a guy who wanted to stop swearing, okay, cursing. And so what did he do? He adopted the identity of an English gentleman, so the story goes. And so in his mind, right, that meant he was courteous and polite at all times. And so he acted as if. What did that mean? He opened the doors for everyone, not just women or the elderly, everybody. He also greeted every person that came into the elevator or that he ran into, because that's what a polite and courteous British gentleman would do. And this helped him stop swearing within 4 days. Another story, about 26 years ago, I used to smoke socially, right? It all started, as it usually does, with one or two cigarettes worth of drinks here and there. It slowly became more, and it started to become a thing in my life. And I started buying whole packs of cigarettes on a daily basis. Until one day, I sat down and thought about it, and I said, hang on a second, I am not a smoker. I tapped into the identity play, and that was it. I was done smoking cigarettes. What I didn't do was, I didn't say I want to stop smoking. I didn't say I want to slow down. Instead, I decided that I simply was not a smoker and made that rule. And I haven't smoked cigarettes since. Now, the occasional cigar is a whole other matter, but we're not going to go there. So what does this show us? This goes to show us that when you say that this is how I operate and you have this operating system, it stops your reliance on what most people consider discipline and what other people call willpower. Because as we said, these are depletable resources. We don't want to be counting on these. Because the truth is this, if you go through life and you like, I'm trying to not do this, and I'm going to try not to drink, I'm going to try not to eat these cheeseburgers, I'm not going to try swear, your discipline can only do so much. So when we're talking about a system based on these rules, it works so much better, right? And so when I did the rules for myself, I came up with about 10 of them. However, you don't need to start with 10 rules. You decide. You could start with one rule for each area of your life. You know, a rule for your work, for your family, for your health, for your relationships, for yourself, and for abundance. Say, like, for example, you know, for your family, you could say something along the lines of, I shut my phone off at 6:30 p.m. and then I spend, say, 90 minutes in focus time with my family. That could be a rule. But here's the thing. If you're regularly home at 7:30, then this is not going to work, right? You're probably going to fail. So you get to build it around the rule, around something you're already doing or close to what you're already doing, creating small steps towards your goal. For health, you might say something along the lines of, like, I drink 3 liters of water a day, or I do 30 minutes of exercise a day minimum. Business, it could be I make 5 sales calls a day no matter what, or I time block 2, say, 90-minute focus time blocks each day. All right? And so you go on in all areas of your life to make rules, one or two rules that you're going to stick to. For yourself, you could say, I meditate daily for 20 minutes, or I have one massage a week. So that's what we do. We go through, write your rules down, and start implementing them. Now, I spoke a bit about it, identity, and so let's drill a little deeper into this. Let me ask you this question. What is the one thing the worst thing a person can be? What's the worst thing a person can be? Now, most of you are probably saying, well, the worst thing a person can be is a criminal, right? And I would agree. However, there's something else that is also pretty high on the list, I would say. And that is being a hypocrite, especially when we are hypocrites to ourselves. If you want to build your confidence, which drives discipline, you cannot be a hypocrite. And you have to keep your promises to yourself. You have to make a promise and keep a promise to yourself. But the truth is, every single day, people make promises to themselves and they don't keep them. And when you do this, you chip away at your confidence. And when you chip away at your confidence, it's really difficult to have discipline. For example, how many times have you set the alarm clock and hit snooze? All right. The night before, you were very ambitious. You decided you would wake up early the next day. And sure enough, after making that promise to yourself, the following morning, when the alarm goes off, you say to yourself, I don't like that promise. And you hit snooze. And we know if you snooze, you lose. Now, you just don't lose the time because you go back to sleep, or the fact that you're tired because snooze sleep is probably the worst kind of sleep you can get. But you also lose out on your hopes and dreams because, in fact, you're saying to them, they can wait. And if that isn't a confidence killer, then I don't know what is. So the goal of discipline is to eliminate the gap between what you say you want to accomplish and how you actually show up in life. So if you are saying you want to accomplish a 6 a.m. wake up here, right, and you hit snooze, well, then you're way over here. Especially if you hit snooze a few times. Some people do it 3, 4 times, and then so you're way over there. But if you get up at 6 a.m., if you want to get up at 6 a.m., and you get up at 6 a.m., then you're here. And if you wake up a little earlier and pop out of bed, well, now you're up here and you're winning. You're achieving your goals and you're being the person you say you want to be. And this builds confidence that's going to spill in every area of your life. When we don't act in accordance with our goals and what we want, and when our actions are in the opposite direction of our goals, you have that incongruence. And that leads to anxiety, it leads to more stress, and it definitely leads to less success. So confidence and discipline are so entwined that they're almost one and the same. So every time you make a promise and keep that promise, your confidence goes up and up and up. And when your confidence goes up, you're so much stronger and so much more confident in making disciplined choices. You're able to follow the rules you have, the rules that you've set for your life. You can achieve the things you want, and you're acting in accordance with the person that you are because you've figured that out by knowing yourself. You have to be the person you want to be. So your next homework exercise is to start making promises and then keep those promises. Make a promise and keep a promise. So your promise may not be to hit snooze or to drink more water, whatever it is. Well, it may be that. But mean it and do it. And you will feel that confidence building up. And the next day, you do it again. And you'll feel that confidence building up even more. Every single day, you're going to make a promise. And some days, it's going to be easy to keep. And other days, it's going to be challenging. But you have to keep at it, because if you don't, that hypocrite feeling is going to resurface and it's going to chip away at your confidence. So make a promise and keep a promise. Make and keep one simple promise today to begin building your confidence and developing your identity integrity. Now, there are promises and commitments that you've probably made that perhaps after watching this training so far, you know you can't keep and you need to let go of. Saying no and renegotiating existing commitments is a powerful way to continue building your integrity through your confidence. Once again, the first step is to get clarity. It's to get clear on your current commitments, because you can't renegotiate agreements you don't remember making. And it's tough to know which agreements or to-dos you need to renegotiate if you don't have them in front of you. So another quick exercise for you. Sit down for 10 minutes and write down as quickly as you can every commitment that has your attention. That's all the stuff weighing in on your mind. Write them down one item per line on the paper, reflect on your list, and consider how you feel about these items. When people do this, they usually feel a little bit better after writing the list. And why would that be? Well, it's because they feel like they have more control over them, and perhaps it's because they can see the next steps needed to complete the listed items. Another reason is because once it's out of your mind automatically feels clearer and lighter. And there is often an inverse relationship between how much something is on your mind and how quickly it gets completed. So when you write down all your agreements and you see this massive list of things you've agreed to, the word no might start feeling more appropriate. So the second step is to renegotiate with yourself. One of the biggest sources of stress and dissonance comes from not completing commitments we've made to ourselves. You know, things like, I ought to fix that back porch, I want to take my wife out on a date, I have to clean the garage, etc. For some, our own desires and values are the largest sources of commitment. And when you have too many of these, you can either stress about not being able to get to all of them, or you can be better about deciding which ones you truly committed to and which ones you're not. This is where a someday maybe list can be really powerful. The idea here is this. Just because you want to say no to something right now, it doesn't mean you have to say no to it forever. So even if you've removed it from your list, but deep down inside you still have an interest in doing that thing at some point, your brain isn't going to let it go. Your brain's going to keep reminding you and guilt tripping you about it. So you need a place to put items you might want to do, but aren't committed to taking action on them right now, maybe because of time or money or some other circumstances. So you create a list or folder called someday, maybe, or not now. Then, anytime you think of something you want to do, but you know realistically you can't commit to now or in near term, you drop it in that list. And then you put a reminder on your calendar once a month to review that list. So there's no pressure to do anything, but as you review the list, see if there's anything you want to move to current. Because now you may have the time, you may have the money or the circumstances to do it. The third step in renegotiating is renegotiating with others. So when you get committed, you know you don't have time to complete. Sorry, when you've got a commitment, you know you don't have time to complete. You have to have a renegotiation conversation. And this can be really hard. The reality is there are some commitments you simply can't say no to or renegotiate. And so the key here is finding a way to fully engage with the commitments you've made and not to feel guilty about the stuff you're not doing at the moment. So you get to have a conversation with that person. You get to be clear about them and decide on whether this can be done right now or it can't be done right now. Can it be done later? Then fine. You get to renegotiate that agreement with the other person. Now, one study by economists and sociologists at MIT found that a firm's all-stars tend to only work on 5 projects at once, not more. So how many projects are you currently working on? How many open loops have you got? So you can be both helpful and productive without some key habits. I mean, you can't be helpful or productive without some key habits to keep it under control. So in the end, you also have to take care of yourself. You can only create more stress, or you will only create more stress, when you commit to far more than you realistically can do. So being a little nicer to yourself is actually going to be the best way to help others in the long run. The final thing I want to talk about today is the $1 million day, as it's called. This is an effective and powerful way to jumpstart the coming clean process, right? And the idea here is to create a whole day of you coming clean. This is something I learned from a mentor of mine, and it's a really powerful process. And let's call it, for the sake of anything, let's call it your millionaire day. On this day, you get up early and you blitz through a list that you have previously prepared. So this isn't a normal work day. It's probably going to be on a Saturday. You may have to enlist some additional help, you know, perhaps your partner, your kids, or your friends. But this is a day where you're going to kick butt in handling as many open loops and outstanding commitments as you possibly can from your list of incompletions. So we prepare for this day in the months and the weeks preceding it. And so we create this Uber list of incompletions by looking and considering at all the main areas of your life and looking to see what you have outstanding. So you get to make a list for your health, for your home, for your business, for your working area, your technology, your relationships, finances, as well as maybe any hobbies. You create a list for all these major areas and then any other areas that you think are going to that apply. For each area, have a think about all the things that you've been putting off. Things that you know you should have done already, things that you wish you had done, and anything that you have been putting off. For example, for health, it could be scheduling that annual physical. For home, it could be deep cleaning the garage or changing out all the burnt light bulbs. For your business, it could be sorting out your business accounts, separating business from personal. It could be sorting out all your passwords, your technology. You could have a list for your technology, and you could be like, clean out your old phone, update all your software, throw away old cords and chargers. Either way, you get to create a list for each area of your life and then plan a specific day for each of those lists, not multiple lists on the same day. Let me tell you that this is a really powerful exercise that can literally change lives. 2 stories. One guy did a cleanup. He found a lottery ticket that he had lost. That lottery ticket had won and made him a lot of money. That's why it's called the million dollar day. The second story was about a lady who recovered her hearing after 40 years of being deaf, and it happened after she finally went to check her hearing. When she did go, she was told that the technology had moved on and they could restore her hearing. And it already had been around for a while. So doing this can free up so much space and energy, and it just creates room for new opportunities to flood in. And this is also how you repair your integrity. This is how you build your confidence. This is how you strengthen your discipline, right? So you take responsibility for your outstanding commitments and promises to others and yourselves, and you get them done. And this gets you to aim this renewed and replenished energy at your specific vision and goals and then you're away. The disciplined man is a man of his word. He does what he says. All right. He sticks to agreements. He's dependable. He's responsible. He's accountable. He keeps his life in integrity, or he strives to get it back in integrity consciously and constantly. So make a list, schedule a day, and blitz through the list, and then repeat. You will feel great. You'll feel so confident, and you're going to have a boost to your discipline. So guys, this is where we're going to leave week one and bring this training to a close. So please take action. We went through multiple points here, and you have multiple pieces of action lists, homework, and exercises to do. And please go ahead and do them, as this is the foundation that we get to build on next week, where we're going to go deeper into these areas. I really hope you found these ideas useful, that you take action on them, and we will see you next week. Much love, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.